Hello, this is Kyle Jones. Today we are discussing the topic of crowns. This subject was brought up this past summer, the summer of 2015, with my daughter as we were driving back home from a wonderful trip from Florida. And the argument began over, is a tiara a crown? Well, I thought we might do a part one, part two series on crowns and tiaras. It is my specialty in studying crowns from the Babylonian era all the way to modern day. So what I thought I would do for a moment is to hit mid-range, that is in the Grecian culture, and go back, go forward until we have a thorough treatment of the word for crown. Next week we'll cover the word tiara. The name crown does come from the horned one. Horn, karen in Hebrew. Chronos as time, but the corona as the sun. If one could say the horns of the sun or the flares or crowns from the sun, we would be speaking at the same thing. But we might for a moment derivate to the Greek mythology of Kronos. The name Kronos, as classical readings give us, is applied to Saturn as the, quote, father of the gods. Back to the meaning of this name Kronos, the horned one, as applied to Nimrod and his system, does fully explain the origins of this remarkable symbol. That is, the crown. This crown so frequently occurs among the Nineveh sculptures, such as the daguerreotypes and pictures given to us by Henry Layard in his book, Nineveh. We see that this horned bull man does signify on these temple and cave scorings of Kronos, but yet in the Nimrodian style, as the mighty prince, thereby pointing back again to the first of those mighty ones, who under the name Gubres or Gabers or Gabiri, who occupied so conspicuous a place in the ancient world, and to whom the deified Assyrian monarchs covertly did trace back the origin of their greatness and might. This explains the reason why that Bacchus of the Greeks was represented as wearing horns, and why he frequently addressed by the epithet bull-horned one, as one of the high titles of his dignity. Even in comparatively recent times, Togrul Beg, the leader of the Seljukian Turks, who came from the neighborhood of the Euphrates, was in a similar manner represented with three horns growing out of his head, as the emblem of his sovereignty. This also, in a remarkable way, accounts for the origin of one of the divinities worshipped by our Paganus or pagan Anglo-Saxon ancestors under the name of Zernobogus. This Zernobogus was the, quote, black, malevolent, ill-omened divinity. If one recalls the advertisement of deviled eggs, deviled ham, one might remember the red devil on the white package or the white paper wrapping this can of mystery meat. This very well might be of the devil himself, I'm sure of it. But nonetheless, we do have depictions of this man, this deity, as being dark or red, with the bull hooves and its tail wrapped as a belt around his waist. Again, this same man who has been deified does come close to the counterpart of our idea of the devil. We can go further by saying that another type of deity, if you will, named Zernobogus, is almost surely Chaldaic or old Babylonian in its origin, and it does seem to unfold itself as denoting the seed of the prophet Cush. And I say that because we see reason already to conclude that under the name of Bel, as being confounder, this word is distinguished from Baal. And we also see that Cush was the great soothsayer, or false prophet, if you will, that was worshipped at Babylon. He would be the son of Baal. But independent inquiries have also led us to the conclusion that Bel and Nebo, which does mean the prophet, from where we get the word Ne'evi from the Hebrew, that these were just two different titles for the same type of God, and that a prophetic God at that. With these early depictions given to us by Dr. Layard, we do find that the first regal crown does appear to have only been a band in which the horns were set. From the idea of power contained in the horn, even subordinate rulers seem to have worn a circlet adorned with a single horn, in token of their derived authority. We do also find that in the Egyptian monuments of old, that the heads of the deified royal personages have generally no more than the two horns that shadow forth their power. As sovereignty, in Nimrod's case, though, we do find physical force, so that the two horns of the bull were the symbols of that physical force. Nonetheless, they were beset upon a corona. We do find in a scholarly work named Sanchuniathan, which the author alludes me right now, that, quote, Astarte put on her head a bull's head as the ensign of royalty. However, another and a higher idea did come in, and the expression of that idea was seen in the symbol of the three horns. A cap seems in the course of time to have come to be associated with the regal horns. In Assyria, the three-horned cap was one of the sacred emblems, in token that the power connected with it was of celestial origin, the three horns evidently pointing at the power of the Trinity. Still, we have indications that the horned band, without any cap, was anciently the corona or royal crown. The crown borne by the Hindu god Vishnu in his avatar of the fish is just an open circle or band, with three horns standing erect from it, with a knob on the top of each horn. All of the avatars are represented as crowned with a crown that seems to have had been modeled from this, consisting of a coronet with three points standing erect from it, in which even the great Sir William Jones recognizes that the Ethiopian or Parthian coronet does stand true. The open tiara of Agni, the Hindu god of the fire, shows in its lower round the double horn, made in the very same way as in Assyria, proving at once the ancient custom, and whence that custom had come. Instead of the three horns, three horn-shaped leaves came to be substituted, and thus the horned band gradually passed into the modern coronet, or crown, with the three leaves of the fleur-de-lis, or other familiar three-leaved adornings. Amongst the Indians of America, there had evidently been something entirely analogous to the Babylonian custom of wearing the horns. For in the buffalo dance, there each of the dancers had his head arrayed with buffalo's horns. And it is worthy of a special remark that the satyric dance, or dance of the satyrs, in Greece, seemed to have their counterpart of this Indian solemnity. For the satyrs were horned divinities, and consequently those who initiated and imitated their dance must have had their heads set off in imitation of theirs. when thus we find a custom that is clearly founded on a form of speech that characteristically distinguished the region where Nimrod's power was wielded, used in so many different countries far removed from one another, where no such form of speech was used in ordinary life, we may be sure that such a custom was not the result of mere accident, but that it indicates the widespread of diffusion and of an influence that went forth in all directions from Babylon, from the time that Nimrod first began to be mighty on the earth.